Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is Season 7 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. Now, the Word of God is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's Word right now. Please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. And it's the end of the chapter, verses 16 through 20. This week is Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is a day on the church calendar when we look at who God is in three persons. The idea of the Trinity is unique to Christianity. It is not something that the Jews believe in. It's not something that the Muslims believe in. It's something that only Christians believe in. And it's not so much that we are worshiping three distinct gods, but we worship a God who presents himself to us in three distinct ways. And so to understand who God is, we have ascribed to him these three persons, if you will, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let us look today at our text. This is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. We know it as the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I have been called by many names throughout my life. I have been called Brett, obviously. For a period of time when I was in school, I went by Robert. That didn't last very long. I was actually born George, if you can believe that. Now, I've had many nicknames. When I was in high school, for some reason, people called me Pablo. And I don't know. There was a show on at that time. It was called AKA Pablo with a Hispanic actor. And there was a teacher there who said, "I look like him." And then the name stuck. These are the things that happen. And then, of course, when I was into punk rock, I was known as Max. But there is one name that is unique that I have. See, a few years ago, my son, who was getting older, decided he wanted to call me Brett. Why not? Everybody else calls me Brett, right? "Hey, Brett, how you doing?" Well, it doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't sound right for my son to be calling me by my name. And so I said to him, "Listen, there are only two people in the whole world," at that time only two people, "there are only two people in the whole world who can call me Daddy, and you are one of them. It's a name that only you can call me, and it makes our relationship unique." And from then on, he's only ever called me Dad. Dad is a name that only our children can call us. But we are all God's children, and God invites us also to call him Dad. In this text, we're going to focus on one particular verse, verse 19, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." It's really the first time that those three distinct names are used in one verse. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's right there. So when we baptize in the Methodist Church, we always baptize in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. It is a triune God that we worship. And before we get too caught up in the whole idea of what the Trinity is, I've heard it explained as a tri-unity. Tri-unity. Trinity. Makes sense? God presents himself to us in three different ways. God the Father, the Creator, the one, the lawmaker, the just one, the judge, God the Father. And then God the Son, the reconciler, the justifier, the Savior, our brother, God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier, the purifier, the one who lives in us, the one who dwells in us. But they are all one God. They are all one God. One way to understand the triune nature of God is to think of the three different types of grace that John Wesley talked about. John Wesley talked about prevenient grace and justifying grace and sanctifying grace. Now, if you've never heard those terms before, that's okay. And certainly the word prevenient is an odd word and hard to remember. But I always think of these three types of grace in this way. Prevenient. It is the grace of God that occurs before we come to him. Prevenient. Prevenient meaning that his grace goes before us. Even before we come to God, he loves us. The gospel, the writer Peter, the apostle Peter, said that we love God because he loved us. God's love precedes us. That's his prevenient grace. That is God standing at the door of our hearts, knocking and waiting for us to open the door, calling to us. He loves us before we even know who he is. I think about my own relationship with my son Isaac. I loved him before he was even born. I loved him before he was even born. Before his eyes ever opened, before he ever knew who I was, before he ever knew that I was his father, I loved him. And that's the kind of love that God has for each and every one of us. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, before you were born, when I made you in the womb, I called to you. God calls to us and he loves us before we even know who God is. That's prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. His grace precedes us. It doesn't depend on us in any way, shape, or form. Now, the justifying grace is the grace that we receive at the cross of Jesus Christ. Justifying grace is the grace that God offered to us when Christ hung on a cross to atone for our sins. It's that reconciling grace that allows us to have that unique relationship with God. Because when we are in our sin, we cannot approach God. God cannot be in sin. But God loves us so much and he made a way for us to be able to approach him. Even when we have transgressed. Even when we have not been pure. And so, because he is a just God, because our sins have to be paid for, and because the debt was too great for us to pay, he sent his son, who is holy, who was blameless, who was sinless, to hang on a cross, to pay for all our sins. And in that moment, he justified us. When we allow Christ to be our Savior, when we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we are justified by his atoning sacrifice. And that's the justifying grace that we receive at the cross. The sanctifying grace is the grace that we receive from the Holy Spirit day by day. Sanctification is a process. It happens over time. It's not something that happens in one moment. That's why there are so many people who are Christians who still struggle with sin. Certainly the Apostle Paul struggled with sin. In the book of Romans, in the seventh chapter, we read, "I do what I don't want to do. And the thing that I want to do, I don't do." He struggled with sin. He struggled with sin. And if Paul struggled with sin, Paul, who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, if he struggled with sin, certainly we all do. We all do. But the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit, once we invite Jesus to be our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us and makes us more like Christ every day. But it's a process. It happens over time. It happens over time. We continue to grow. We continue to become more perfect without ever having gotten there. John Wesley said it was going on to perfection. We are always going on to perfection, but we never quite get there. Until that day, when we are in the presence of God, then all things become clear. When we are in God's spiritual realm, we will know all things. We will see only God. And we'll suddenly understand that all the pleasures of the flesh pale in comparison to the love of God. It shines all around us all the time. On that day, we will become perfect as He is perfect. Until that day, we struggle. We struggle. And that's okay. The Spirit guides us. The Spirit sanctifies us, purifies us, and continues to make us more and more like Christ day by day. It's a process. It's not an event. Now, I want to focus today, being Father's Day, I want to focus today on the first person of the Godhead, God as the Father. God is a perfect Father. God is a perfect Father. And I think by looking at the way God is a Father to us can make fathers better fathers if we follow His example. First of all, God loves unconditionally. There is no condition to God's love. God loves us no matter what. Even when we turn our backs on Him, even when we are steeped in sin, even when we selfishly turn away from Him to pursue our own flesh and our desires, to pursue other gods even. And we may say, well, I don't have any other gods. Well, idolatry doesn't just come from setting up a stone god or a wooden god. Idolatry is anything that we put before our relationship with God. It could be money. It could be possessions. It could be things. It could be relationships with other people. It could be anything. Anything that we put before our relationship with God, we set up in our heart as an idol. And God loves us through all that. Through all that. There is nothing that we can do to separate us ourselves from God's love. The book of Romans tells us that. Neither height nor depth, nothing can separate us from God's love. God loves unconditionally. Next, God never gives up on us. God never gives up on us. Even when I turned away from God, I could see many times in my life where God was still calling out to me, using people around me to draw me back to Him, using events to wake me up to the reality that I had turned away from Him, pulling me back, calling me back. God never gives up on us. Just like that father in the story of the prodigal son, what do we know about him? When the prodigal son finally comes to his senses and he returns to the father, what does the text tell us? It says, the father saw him a long way off. Why? Because he was waiting for him to come back. He was waiting for him to come back. Despite the fact that the kid disowned his father, basically said to his father, you are dead to me. I want my inheritance now. And then he dishonored his father by going off to a foreign land and spending it all on wild living. Despite all of that, despite the fact that he had chosen wealth over a relationship with his father sat and watched and waited for his son to return. While he was yet a long way off, the father saw him, and he didn't wait for him to come to him. He got up and he ran to the son. He ran to the son. That's the kind of love that God has for us. He never gives up on us. He sits and he waits and he watches. And when we return to him, he runs to us and embraces us. And there's a celebration whenever anybody returns to God. Finally, God the Father only wants the best for us. Every law that is in the Bible is written to protect us. You know, my father had a few specific rules in the house. Don't stick forks in the toaster. You know? Don't swing the cat around by his tail. Don't lick the light socket. Very specific rules, you know, and they were meant to protect me. And someone might look at all the rules in the Bible, all the laws, and say, well, this is just somebody who's micromanaging. This is just somebody who just wants to have control over people. Well, every one of those laws is written in love. Every single one is made to protect us. From ourselves, really. From our own selfish desires. He only wants the best for us. And he knows that the best is a relationship with him. That we can choose to pursue after relationships here on earth, but every single one of those will fall away, will decay into nothing. We can chase after pleasures, but those pleasures fade over time. Ask anybody who's ever been in the throes of drug addiction. They need more and more and more just to feel the same pleasure. And they never do. And they chase after it and they will never get it. God only wants the best for us. He knows that we will find that satisfaction in him. Augustine said, "My heart is restless until it finds its rest in you, O God." And this is true. And God only wants the best for us. You know, there is a reason why Jesus tells us to call God Abba. Not just some disco band from the 70s. Abba is a term of endearment for a father. It's an Aramaic word that is equivalent to our daddy. Abba. Daddy. God wants us to call him daddy. It's that kind of love that he wants from us. You know, just as I wanted my son to call me daddy, that's what God wants from us. You know, think about that image for a minute. A little child climbing into his daddy's lap. That moment he is safe. He is secure. He is completely dependent upon his daddy's love. Are you ready to have that kind of dependence on God's love? He stands at the door and he knocks. Won't you open the door to your daddy? Let us pray. Abba, Father, we come to you now as children, wanting to be wrapped in the warmth of your loving arms. We give ourselves to you completely. You are our Father, our God, our Creator, and our friend. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Spirit, which guides us day by day. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who carried our sins to the cross and brought us to you, Abba, Daddy, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My prayer for you is that you have been blessed in its teaching as I have been blessed putting this message together. God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn, and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. We are Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith communities in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. If you live in the area and you don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And right now during the COVID-19 crisis, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we'd be happy for you to join us wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family, hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.